for no tax.
The man in charge of Libya forever and a day, often called the strong man, the iron-willed man, and certainly we will dive into what's happened with human rights issues in that country. This has been going on since February. I said it was like a wicked game of whack-a-mole trying to hunt this guy down. So now Gaddafi is dead. He's been taken out. That's a huge story which we're going to look at from all different angles, including from the Sharia law and what does this mean. And also our terrorism expert friend Jeff Atticott is going to join us. But right from the get-go here on ATN, as always, we go inside the Beltway to get the true scoop from the true insiders. Benny Martinez joins us now. Benny, the reaction in Washington to Gaddafi.
Well, Kate, you know, surprisingly, this morning, this is something that none of us expected. We, I woke up this morning expecting to engulf myself in Washington politics, but the news broke early this morning that Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte in Libya had actually been overtaken by the National Transitional Council's forces. Obviously, Sirte was the last town in Libya that was held and controlled by Gaddafi's loyalist forces. And knowing that that town fell to the National Transitional Council forces was big news in and of itself. Shortly after that, reports started flowing into Washington, D.C. that Gaddafi himself had, in fact, died. Now, throughout the morning, these stories were conflicted back and forth. Nobody actually knew. Hillary Clinton could not confirm that he had been captured or killed. So, you know, a lot of people in Washington, D.C. were questioning, you know, the validity of these rumors and of these reports, but obviously later on in the afternoon, President Obama came out and did, in fact, acknowledge the death of the Libyan strongman, Muammar Gaddafi, who'd been in power in Libya for 42 years. Now, some of the people who were fighting against Gaddafi in Libya were younger than that, so they've known nothing else but Gaddafi rule. So this is definitely very much so a very big day for Libyans, and for Northern Africa in and of itself.
Yeah, no kidding. And the president did speak, you know, did talk about that the new Libya has to be inclusive and tolerant and whatnot, and took a couple of different angles on this. And, of course, you know, with all the back and forth over what's taking so long and what happened as the United States threw in with NATO, Biden said something about it as well and saying that NATO got it right. So is this going to be one of those feathers in the cap of the president? Are they going to play this up? Do you think, you cover politics, do you think they'll play this up while he's campaigning?
You know, I think they'll play it up, but I think they'll only play it up to a certain degree. I think there's a ceiling on this because, you know, going into this, there were many critics that opposed the United States' involvement in NATO. Some would argue that the United States essentially is NATO, being the most powerful country in the organization. So I think they'll play it up to a certain point. I'm sure Obama will use it to tout his receipt of the Nobel Peace Prize a couple years ago. So I'm sure the campaign will definitely use it as far as his foreign policy issues are concerned. But I think there's a ceiling there. And essentially what the president said today is it is, in fact, up to the Libyan people to create their own government, to create a democratic government, and like you said, a more tolerant government. And whether or not that's going to happen in the future or how long that's going to take, it remains to be seen. It's a similar situation with the countries of Iraq and Afghanistan as they continue to begin forming their own kind of democracy in their countries. So it's interesting to see how this is going to play out in Libya and what the timeline is going to be. And there have been a number of questions in Capitol Hill of whether or not the administration actually can trust the National Transitional Council, which is the de facto government right now, interim government, so to speak, in Libya. So, you know, the president will definitely tout it, but I think there's going to be a ceiling as far as how much exactly he touts it, you know.
Yeah, and the president's agenda, speaking domestically, something that's been very big, what's on tap for him tomorrow? You and I were talking off the air. Obviously, there's still going to be more comments, I think, about Libya. But what else is going to happen?
Yeah, okay. Like you said, there's definitely going to be a reactionary period to what went on today in Libya. But big news for tomorrow is the president, tomorrow morning, first thing tomorrow, he's going to be signing the pesky free trade agreements that have been lingering for quite some time with South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. Now, there have been a number of Republicans on the Hill who have pressed the president to get these trade agreements to Congress to approve. That has since happened and has been sent back to the president's desk. Tomorrow he's scheduled to sign these. And, you know, reflecting back on the South Korean president's visit to the United States for a state dinner at the White House, I mean, this is obviously something that the Obama administration is going to use in their campaign as something that they can tout as an accomplishment as far as creating jobs inside the country and increasing revenue for the United States. It's very big news because, as you and your listeners might be aware of, or they might not be aware of, is that these free trade agreements have been on the table not only for the Obama administration, but they've been on the table for years past. And people on Capitol Hill are saying that it's about time that these things got done, and the United States is definitely going to reap the benefits from this as far as job creation is concerned.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out, Benny. And we'll be talking about that, obviously, later here on America Tonight. You can throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. Benny Martinez from Talk Radio News, thanks for joining us on the show. All right, so the revolutionary Libyan fighters were inspecting a storm drain in the area around where they claim Muammar Gaddafi was found, wounded, and ultimately killed on Thursday. Now there's going to be instability in Libya. What does it all mean? What happens as far as terrorism is concerned? What about Sharia law, the hardline law, which will probably take over that nation? Karen Lugo, Sharia law expert and constitutional law expert as well, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, will also pop in at the end of the hour to weigh in on what's going on in the Middle East in its entirety, but specifically the rippling effects of Gaddafi being killed. What does that mean? Now, there's this vacuum, and we can already hear the sucking sound coming from that corner of the world. It means to me a whole bunch of Islamic terrorists have some opportunities here, and they're going to try to jump at those opportunities. But we'll break it down with both of them. Coming up on the flip side in just a couple of minutes here, Dabuda will be with us. Do you believe it? Week 7 in the NFL. How did we get here so fast? And how are you doing with football? A bunch of teams have byes. The Giants, Philly, San Francisco, New England, Cincy, Buffalo. The Monday night matchup, I don't think so glamorous. Baltimore and Jacksonville. But there are a couple of other interesting games to be sure. San Diego and the Jets. What Jets team shows up? How about Denver and Miami? I think Miami's a slug waiting to be stepped on, but Denver with a big switch in quarterbacks, Oakland with a big switch in quarterbacks too. That'll be interesting there with Carson Palmer at the helm, and they're hosting Kansas City. So brand new quarterback, and they're the host city. The men in black and silver. I have a feeling we'll be discussing that game. So some good tips, because remember, in our third hour, we have Nailed the Score, where you can win some wonderful prizes from America Tonight, plus huge bragging rights. Our computer will randomly pick the game of the week. You call in and guess which team you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be, and maybe you'll nail the score. Buddha's up. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Greetings again. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, your source for gold and silver. You know, I have the same crystal ball that you have when it comes to what's just around the corner. But we both know that there's nothing on the financial horizon that looks very good. The single measure of good news is that precious metals continue to outperform everything else out there. Right now is the time to take a hard look. Pricing is more attractive now than it's been in many months. Historically and traditionally, this is when prices rise the fastest. They haven't, and opportunities knocking. Please give me a call, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise you an informative, no pressure, no nonsense conversation. We might even have some grins. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. Just make that call. Thanks.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Each and every week we go to the wise one, the Buddha, for some inside skinny on the week ahead in the NFL. I mentioned before we rolled into this all the teams that have buys, and then some of the more intriguing matchups I thought would be interesting with some quarterback switch-ups and whatnot. Steve Budin in the house. How you doing?
Back to my winning ways, had the Raiders last week, bought the half a point, told everybody to buy down from 7 to 6.5, and we got the win, and now it's about continuing the momentum.
All right, I got to ask about this game right out of the gate.
Yep.
Because it's in London,
right.
And you got Chicago and Tampa Bay, +1. Would you go with Tampa there?
So hard to pick these games that are in another country.
Yes.
You never know how the trip is going to affect each team. But the way I look at this game is I pretend it's being played in the U.S. on a neutral field. And I think if that were the case, I think the Bears would be a 3-point favorite in this game on a neutral field. Because of that, I look at the line, which is the Bears 1, as a little too cheap. So I'm going to go with the Bears here and lay the 1, only because I feel that at this point, that would be the line, on a neutral field. Again, I don't know how traveling to London will affect either team. I'm not going to bet this game with my own money. But Kate, if you put a gun to my head, I'm taking the Bears.
I love that when you use that gun scenario. It's perfect for this audience, by the way. San Diego and the Jets. What's going on with the Jets?
Right, well, they shouldn't be breaking their arms, patting themselves on the back after the win to Miami. First of all, I mean, if Revis gets called for the interference like he should have, that game is 10-0 Miami and going a completely different direction. A lot of trash talking already between Rexy and North Turner, Rexy claiming he'd have rings in San Diego. Well, that means that if he doesn't have rings in New York and he'd have rings in San Diego, he must feel that San Diego has more talent than the Jets. And you know what? I agree with them. So let's go with the Chargers here, -2 in New York.
I love that I agree with them. Hey, the game that I want to see, I'm jumping ahead. I'm going to kind of skip around.
Sure.
Kansas City and Oakland, because Carson Palmer, can he win in a Raiders uniform?
Right. Well, Al Davis is dead. But the Raiders obviously are experiencing a rebirth, pride, toughness, yeah, overall excellence. Can Carson Palmer win? Absolutely. And what the message from the Raider organization is to the players when they get a quarterback like that, it's, we're ready to win now. We're not rebuilding for the future. We're not worrying about next year. We want it now. We think we have the tools now, and we're going to go out and grab somebody like this to show you that, hey, we want to win, and we want to win now. And I think for a quarterback like this, who just a couple of years ago was considered an elite quarterback in this league, to get a second chance after, you know, sitting out and watching what happened, you know, to his whole situation in Cincinnati, being able to come back. Usually they come back spirited like Michael Vick did. I think we'll see that with Carson Palmer, and I think he'll be a great addition to this team, and I think they will win, baby, win. So let's go with the Raiders, -4.
Yeah, I love it. I knew you were going to back up that pick. When I saw that, I was salivating over that when they made that move.
They're playing better ball every week, but I don't buy them.
Yeah, I don't either. I like it. I like it. Tim Tebow. Wow. The Broncos. I love it, too. So now you got the Broncos with Tebow and Miami. Come on. So you like Denver?
Well, I mean, the great thing about Tebow playing in Miami is, remember, Florida loves him. I mean, I just found out the Dolphins sold out that game. They haven't sold out a game all season. It's only because people are coming to see Tebow. Look, every pundit on TV, every analyst from ESPN to Fox, they're all said the same thing about this Tebow guy, that, hey, he's not NFL quality. Well, let me remind you, they said the same thing about Cam Newton. What Tebow and Cam Newton have in common is they're both winners in their DNA, at their core. Tim Tebow is a winner. He will find a way to win. He will find a way to play. If they make the game plan around him, around his strengths, he will be a winner. I think that he succeeds. I like Tebow. I'm taking Denver Broncos here, plus the points.
Woohoo, Denver. All right, Green Bay and Minnesota. Minnesota +8.
Well, don't you feel at this point Green Bay should have a big waste management logo on their shirts, the way they take out the garbage? And let me tell you, Minnesota Vikings, they are garbage. Christian Palmer, I don't know, who's their backup, the Vikings?
Christian Palmer.
Right. He's going to play this game. Good luck. I'm going with Green Bay -9.
I love that. All right, so Green Bay. You know what? It's like Indianapolis, forget it. And they're in New Orleans. They're getting 14 points, +14.
Yeah, I mean, to me, though, Indianapolis, if you look at them, you know, they're playing tough. They had a terrible loss last week, but
yeah. They're
going back 3 weeks to 3 weeks before that. They played very tough, keeping it inside the number each game. The quarterback is playing a little bit better. Breezy coming off a real bad loss to Tampa Bay. I think that this could be a spot where you can take the 14 points and possibly Painter gets a backdoor cover. It's a really tough line. And what happens too, Kate, is week 7, you know, the odds makers are so sharp at this point. They know exactly what the customers are thinking, and their gauge on public perception is right on, and it makes it very hard to call some of these games.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's why I asked you about that one.
Diamond in the rough.
Yeah, what do you think is the biggest diamond in the rough this week? Do we already talk about it?
It's early in the week, but let me tell you, as I'm looking at the card, I see the Steelers against the Arizona Cardinals. And look, I understand that the Steelers are more banged up than Snooki on the Jersey Shore, but at this point, you know, to only get laid 3.5 points against the worst team in the league, the Arizona Cardinals, why they're the worst team in the league, I really don't understand. Key injuries, maybe, but at the end of the day, you give me the Steelers against the Cardinals, I only have to lay 3.5, that's the diamond in the rough.
All right, I just marked that down. Diamond in the rough, baby. Buddha says it. Atlanta and Detroit and the Lions host this one after that tough last-second loss against San Francisco last week.
Right, so, and we had talked about it on the show, how much better the San Francisco had been getting, and
yeah,
just how the general gambling public had been used to betting on them. Detroit obviously shows they're human, and look, at the end of the day, the question is, how does Detroit respond to this wake-up call? And I think if you look over the last 2 years and see that they're 17-4 against the spread, now is not the time to jump ship on the Detroit Lions. They're coming home. They're going to get it right. Have they been exposed that they don't run the ball? Yes. But the Atlanta Falcons, they're a team that excels at home, not a real good road team. I like the Detroit Lions here laying the wood at home.
All right. Dallas, St. Louis, hosting St. Louis. St. Louis is a laugher, for goodness sake, but St. Louis gets 11.5 points.
Right. Well, Dallas continues to choke, but they also continue to cover. But that is when they're underdogs. Here, like you said, as a double-digit favorite, you got to worry about a team like St. Louis potentially, you know, knocking on that back door for the cover. But look, at the end of the day, they've got no wins this year. The Rams, they've got no covers. I like to go with the under in this game, 44.5. And how many points can St. Louis score? 10? Even if Dallas has 30, this game is still under.
I love that. One last one. Somebody wanted me to ask you about this one. Houston and Tennessee.
Right, well, Houston, obviously, back to their old tricks, finding every possible way to lose last week. They're without some key players. But the Titans, I think the reason why we're seeing such a cheap line, because the Titans actually are a very good team this year, certainly a better team than the Texans. And when you see a line like 3 for a home team, Kate, what the odds makers are saying is that these teams are equal, and the home field advantage always gives two equal teams, one of them a 3-point advantage. So when they're only 3, they're saying the Titans are an equal team to the Texans, and the reason why is because gamblers are just not used to betting the Tennessee Titans. They never have. They never will. So it's very hard for gamblers to stick their hand in their pockets and bet the Titans. Me, on the other hand, I have no affinity to any team. I just look at every game for what it is on its face value, and in this game, I think the Tennessee Titans are cheap, and you got to lay that number of 3.
All right, I like it. All right, Steve Budin, DaBuda, PickNation.com. Go check it out. He's got his winning ways continuing.
By the way, we're running a $300 contest this week. You should get in it, too. It's a fantasy football contest, completely free, no credit card, no registration. Just click on the link and enter the contest. I came in second out of 500 entries last week, so I'm going to look to win it this week. But it's $300 of my money, and, like I said, it's free, and it's fantasy. And I know all the young guys out there love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, fantasy. He's good. All right, so we'll check that out. Go to PickNation.com. Buddha, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right, should be an interesting week in the NFL. And remember, don't forget about Nail the Score in the third hour of this show. Your chance to win some wonderful prizes if you can only nail the score. Stay with us.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Now the question becomes, what's next now that deposed Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has been killed? Who better to have on the show than Karen Lugo? She's an Islamic law expert and constitutional law attorney. Because what is the impact of now the death of Gaddafi and, of course, the future of Libya and the United States? Karen, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight with us.
Sure, definitely quite an interesting day as far as the news went. And I think there's a tremendous amount of concern in the United States now that we've seen what happened with Egypt and the fact that, in fact, as I was talking to a professor who is an American professor but teaches on Tahrir Square, she was so excited about the fact that Egyptians were running around in the early days looking for copies of the Federalist Papers books and thinking that this was going to actually be an organic kind of, you know, giving birth to a real sense of democracy. And to look at what has happened in Egypt and, you know, for the informed observer, understand that their situation is becoming progressively more authoritarian. There's more persecution of the Copts. It is now looking more genocidal in a sense that the Copts are either having to flee or face what, if anyone watched the videos of what happened recently with the demonstration, because the Copts, there have been several situations with the military firing live rounds into churches being burned, and now we see the armored vehicles actually chasing down and killing the Christians who are demonstrating. So we definitely have not seen an improvement or any sign of real promise of democracy in Egypt. And those of us who have been watching what's happened in Libya have actually now been understanding that as three of the leaders of this junta or whichever movement you're looking at, but that is taking control or plans to take control, are talking about implementation of Sharia law. It is a very, very frightening thing because Sharia in these countries is a very hardline, strict Islamist political regime rather than something that might have become westernized to the point that it's more of a Sharia light in Western countries.
Yeah, so what do you think, Karen, that people don't understand? Because when you dive into the culture and you umbrellaed it for us, and that was great about Sharia law, how it's the real hardline approach. So what does that mean, for example, for women in that country?
It's devastating for women simply because everything about the system is based upon a tribal sense of honor and shame, and everything reflects on the male. So what the woman does, says, how she dresses, how her marital terms are negotiated, at what age she is promised to be married, all of these things have to do with how well the man controls his family and how he is viewed within this tribal system. And so it becomes very difficult for women to have any sense of autonomy, any freedom to express themselves, any freedom to pursue a career. And certainly, in fact, I've just done a survey of American law, family law cases where Sharia has been accepted in our courts because we give what's called comity or respect to other legal jurisdictions as people move in from other countries. And so we have been recognizing some of these marital arrangements where the women, first of all, before the woman's married, all the terms are negotiated by a man who may or may not be a family member. And then as if the marriage should dissolve and there's a dispute, it's a matter of an agreement early on, usually before the marriage, where the woman has agreed to very, very little compared to what we would view as equitable terms under community property. And she doesn't get the children and. So it is a very, very discriminatory system against women. And as much as we talk about reform, it's not happening.
Wow. And so, you know, you look at what happened under the Gaddafi regime, and now you look at what it could be leaning toward this Sharia law, and it's kind of like going from the frying pan right into the fire almost, don't you think?
That's what we're worried about. There's no way to know. It's like there's a hornet's nest, and you know it's bad, and you know it's dangerous, but everybody's buzzing around, and you know, things are contained, and there's some sense of status quo. And so that was bad. But what's coming when you kick that open, and as much as we were involved in the process of kicking it open, we should have made it clear that we would be involved in the process, and certainly those who are expecting freedom and some sense of semblance maybe of democracy, you know, are going to be very disappointed because all we're doing now is talking about encouraging democratic leaning and, you know, things that are all just very vague and ideal sounding, but there is no sense that we will have or any Western nation will have any real leverage when it comes to a government that would have any kind of balancing powers or divisions within government where there's accountability, where you even have the separation of powers that we know is so important within a democracy. So it is a very, very devastating situation, especially considering Israel. The border with Egypt was one of the borders they didn't have to worry about. And so between Egypt and Libya and the people that are fleeing those regions, there just is a tremendous amount of unrest. And certainly the uncertainty is something that we worry about because the Muslim Brotherhood is so well organized.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think people don't realize that really you're talking about it being littered with the people that would practice the hardline Sharia law. That's what it would be. And that's what you, as you said, Egypt and now Libya and Israel. You know, so what's at stake for Israel? I mean, everything. It's the whole game, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, where it was very difficult for Israel, and I was there recently and flew in a helicopter at some of the most narrow parts and looked down at their defensive. In fact, the whole trip had to do with assessing their defensive abilities and what the threats were. And this was before this whole idea that there would be this kind of Arab upheaval, which in the beginning I know we thought we wanted to look at as an Arab Spring, but in these areas where Muslim Brotherhood models, if you look at what they've done in Africa, you know that they are experts at coming in with the medical facilities, with the schools, with the whole sense of order. And then with that, the people really do capitulate to a sense of control because they, you know, to have the order and the food and the just a sense of stability. What they may not be realizing is that when they agree to this, they have also then agreed to a sense of that kind of hardline Sharia control. So for Israel, this would be a very ominous trend and something that, especially in light of the recent prisoner exchange, I think just sets a very, very bad tone for the future.
Yeah, I agree. What about the United States in all of this now that this has happened? What happens here?
At the point that we are looking toward a future where certain uprisings, you look at what happened in Iran, and there are the same kinds of elements in Syria that look to us, just like parts of the Soviet Union did, to really to follow through on our commitment to help with those groups that decided that they wanted democracy enough to actually go out in the streets and pay for it with their blood. And in those countries, there was huge potential. In a country where, certainly in Iran, we face a very serious military and certainly destabilization threat, as much as they're involved in Iraq and the things that we've had to encounter with what they've done with IED devices. So when thinking about the fact that we actually could have had leverage, I wrote recently about this Christian pastor who Iran has sentenced to be hanged because he won't recant his Christian faith, and what we could be doing to have rolling hunger strikes and how we could be influencing that. And if there was just an outcry and a person like that, a popular person who is standing against a regime, all we would have to do is support that. And yet we seem to find a few platitudes that hit the newspapers and the next day it's forgotten. So I think we've had tremendous opportunity to be influential. And where it's been important, we've completely overlooked it. And instead, we're running around putting advisors into the Sudan.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's interesting you bring this up, the Sudan. You have the situation in the Sudan and Iran and their examples of this hardline Sharia law that you're talking about, some of the worst, right?
You know, the Sudan, it's so difficult to even contemplate what the rules of engagement will be for our troops, because certainly if they are going to actually be confronting these forces that are, you know, don't operate by rules of war or civilized senses of war that we understand, there's certainly no idea that the Geneva Convention prevails. So to have our boots on the ground advising, quote, is a really difficult proposition. And so you look at some of these situations where we're getting mired in these really complicated, who knows whose side we're on and who what we're really fighting for, and worse, what we expect the result to be. It's just, you know, you throw up your hands and it looks like we're jumping into messes we don't belong in because we don't have any idea what we want the outcome to be. And yet we bypass some great opportunities for potential just helping the people themselves with a revolt and some kind of potential reform. And we're not involved there. So I go figure. I really, you know, to be spending the money, blood and treasure that we are, without having any influence is very difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Perfect place to end this interview. Karen Lugo, thanks so much. Islamic law expert and constitutional law attorney, we appreciate it.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947 or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, the big news, we've been talking about it here this entire hour, is the fact that the deposed Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, has been killed, and we're getting all kinds of reaction to it, and to what's happening, what's going to happen next in that country. Is it going to be Sharia law, the hardline Sharia law, that's ultimately what's going to happen in that country, and what the people are going to have to abide by and live with, we'll say. Who better to have on the show than terrorism expert Jeff Atticott? Jeff, thanks so much, as always, for coming on.
Hey, Kate, always a pleasure.
Gaddafi, your initial reaction when you heard what happened?
Well, you know, I was, it was like, wow, really? You had billions of dollars and you didn't get out of the country and, you know, live the rest of your life in Africa. It, really, I mean, that was my first thought is, you know, just didn't make a lot of sense from a rational point of view. But of course, he is a megalomaniac and, likes, the power lust and ego lust is a lot stronger in his soul than anything else. So, good riddance to him. However, it's not necessarily going to be a rosy picture in the future. I think in a year from now, or even 6 months from now, the question is going to be, are we better off today, 6 months in the future, or should we not have spent that billions of dollars and driven Gaddafi out of power?
Yeah, because you heard what I said, the Sharia law, it looks like that's what might be standing here. We're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. So now you're saying from the frying pan to the fire or whatever you want to call it. But what does that mean for Libya?
Well, it can mean very bad things. I mean, remember, the goal of al-Qaeda was to replace the puppet regimes, which is Mubarak and Gaddafi, which were not radicalized. In other words, he was a bad guy, dictator, terrorist, but he wasn't motivated by radical Islam. He was motivated simply by power and terror and wanted to extend his power, like Saddam Hussein. But he locked up the radical Islamic extremists, and so they were in the cage. Now all the jails are emptied, and these radical Islamic extremists are heavily armed, and they are salivating at the mouth because they see this as a power vacuum, an opportunity for them to take power. And I think they're going to probably try to weasel their way into power, as we saw in Iran. I don't think there's going to be another, you know, massive civil war between the radicals and the more moderates in Libya. I think they're going to try to co-opt the moderates, and then, of course, when they seize power, they'll kill a lot of the moderates and take total control. If I was a betting person, I would say that's exactly what's going to happen in Libya. And, again, this would not be happening if Obama had not started this war, spent $1 billion of our dollars that we don't have to drive Gaddafi out of power with no plan on what to do next. Because if you don't have American soldiers on the ground, you can't influence what's going to happen in Libya. I know Obama is going to try to pump in, you know, multi-millions of dollars to the quote-unquote good Libyans so they'll take power. But you can't. There's no guarantee that you can get anything out of that money. And, of course, we're going to have to borrow the money from China even to do that.
So, once again, it comes back to the same thing. No plan, no end game, and all the money spent leaves Libya as kind of a misfit now country, and we've just walked away spending all that money, and it won't really matter that much for the United States, other than we'll have another radicalized sort of regime in there, which spells disaster for certainly for the people there and for another country in the Middle East. And who knows, what kind of hornet's nest opens up and who tries to come and do whatever to the Western world. Is that what you think?
Exactly. You know, once again, President Obama's on the wrong side of history. I know he's doing the victory lap right now, and it's going to be a short lap because this thing's going to unravel very quickly. We're going to see some measures and some gestures towards, quote-unquote, open elections like we're going to see in Egypt. But at the end of the day, it's not going to have a happy ending. There's simply not that much to hope for. And as I said, unless we, you know, how can we influence what happens? We really can't. They've got the oil. We can't cut off anything to that country because they don't need us, really. We need them. We need the oil. We need the cooperation. And if that turns into a radical regime, then I guarantee you they will start to acquire weapons of mass destruction like Iran. We're going to see a proliferation of countries that want bigger and bigger weapons and pick up the cry of radical Islam. So it could very well be a much worse situation. And my complaint is, don't take these actions unless you've got a clear insight or end game in mind. And from the very get-go, as everybody recalls, you know, Obama was not telling us the truth. He was, you know, on his way out to vacation in South America. He said, oh, by the way, we just started a war, but I'm not going to call it a war, and we're not going to take sides, and NATO is going to lead this effort. We're just protecting civilians. I mean, these were all things that weren't true.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. It's like you said, you brought up Iran and the weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, we just saw what happened with Iran and the Saudi ambassador and the attempt to assassinate him, that plan that unraveled that would have maybe taken place in Washington. That's what presumably was going to happen there. What do you think we've had now in a couple decades, 19 sanctions, economic sanctions leveled at Iran and hasn't done anything. What do you think the play should be with Iran?
Well, you know, many people are very suspicious of the timing of the Department of Justice when they release this quote-unquote arrest, because they've been sitting on this news for quite some time. As you recall, the very same time that they released this story was the moment when there was a lot of interest in Holder and how he had been covering up in this Fast and Furious, either lying to Congress or you're incompetent. I mean, it's one or the other. He's saying, well, I didn't know anything about it. My chief of staff did, blah, blah, blah. So that says that you're incompetent, or the other option is you lied. And both of them were not good options. So all of a sudden this story is released about this low-level schmuck in South Texas that, is working with these undercover people to try to pull off this assassination of the Saudi ambassador.
You know, call me cynical, but I'm just not buying it, because the administration, even today, has not released any emails, any detailed information linking this to the top of the Iranian government. And, you know, I'm sorry, I need to see some evidence, because my trust meter is simply not there anymore with this administration, unfortunately. I want to see some evidence. If you're saying that another nation state is plotting this attack, those are very serious charges. Show us the email, you know, come public with it, because until you do that, I'm going to have a healthy skepticism about how deep and how far and how high this plot really ran.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't think that originally, but then when I dug a little deeper recently, I have arrived at the same conclusion that you have, because I was trying to shake the tree with the FBI and some contacts I had there, and they were pretty, there was a lot of holes in the story. In other words, I couldn't get anything direct, and so it seemed to me like it was more fluff than actual stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's what we, you know, if you're gonna make these claims, and they're very serious claims, that another nation state is gonna conduct an act of violence on our shores that could kill American people, you need to come up with some evidence. You need to come up with something other than believe me. It's just not gonna work.
Yeah. I gotta ask you this, one last thing about these five guys, these five young men that, were trying to break into the Bexar County courthouse. And the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they're investigating this, of whether or not it was some kind of a prank, or is it part of a terrorism plot? What do you know about that?
Well, when the initial story broke, I mean, you know, the Supreme Court said last year that duh, yes, you can consider the race of individuals when you're looking at terrorism that's sponsored by radical Islam. There's going to be a disproportionate people that are going to be involved in radical Islam that are from Middle Eastern countries. So, you know, that's the Supreme Court of the United States in a recent case. And these guys had a profile. They were from Morocco. They were Muslim. They were breaking into our courthouse at dark 30 hours in the morning. Some were waiting in a van, and some were in the courthouse. So all that together, absolutely, our first impression has to be that this could be a terrorist incident. Based on the post-9/11 world, the number of terrorist incidents that we've broken up in this country, the FBI did the right thing by initially, you know, going after these folks in that view, and the FBI has lead authority for all terrorist activities in the country. So when they took the case, that's an indication that there were some factors that added up, needed to be looked at, and I did a couple interviews right off the bat, and I said, of course, we need to look at this, and of course, we can't stick our head in the sand and say, well, we can't say anything because they're Muslims or from Morocco. Yeah, that's part of the information that you can use and put in the equation, because that, you know, along with the fact that you're breaking into the courthouse at night and there's some out in the car and there's some in there, you know, five people, you know, so yeah, I think it was a correct thing. It turns out, as far as we know, that as the investigation continues, that perhaps these guys were just, you know, idiots and, you know, been drinking a little bit too much maybe and wearing sombreros and kind of doing dumb things. But, you know, if you're a Moroccan in this country, you've got to realize in the post-9/11 world that you're going to draw suspicion on yourselves when you and your buddies start doing activities together that are illegal and criminal in groups. So that's not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Atticott, of course, terrorism law expert, thanks so much for joining us.